Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Within a week, Yuma Fire responded to around 340 emergency calls. The majority of the calls involved children. Read about the emergency calls on our website. The research center at ASU has been studying rats for Parkinson's therapy. The director of research at ASU says they're happy to help individuals who suffer from the disease. Learn more about the study and the rodents on the website. Twitter has been cracking down on posts that spread dangerous false stories on the platform. Tesla billionaire Elon Musk has been aiming to make Twitter a free speech platform. Read more about the new policies, YumaDailyNews.com. The Padres will start their series against the Giants tonight in San Francisco. Game starts at 7:15. The team just finished its series last night against the Phillies. Get the latest on the website. You can listen to the game live on our talk station, AM 560 KBLU. If you have ideas for local news stories, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@YumaDailyNews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Big trough of low pressure, slow to move. And so that keeps our temperatures right where they're supposed to be through the weekend. 94 today, 91 tomorrow, 95 Saturday. When you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay at Total Wine & More, you'll discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection at totally low prices at TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly. Be 21. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. We got the next 50 minutes or so to talk about what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the stock market. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. How are you doing today? Happy Friday. Russ, how are you doing?
For a Friday, good. I've had this summer cold today. I feel pretty good.
Oh, you do? Because yeah. I've had it for about 8 days. It's just been keeping me up at night, my throat. It's not good.
I sleep during the day. I'm a non-essential employee.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you know, you have a job.
Plus, I've been out doing a lot of scholarship things for students. And congratulations.
That's a good deal.
A lot of students out there. They're having next week's the graduation for pretty much every high school and then in Yuma County, but they've been doing their award ceremony for scholarships. And, you know, the kids have been working hard. I went to San Luis on Wednesday with Arizona Community Foundation. Arizona Community Foundation. We gave out four scholarships.
Yeah.
But San Luis had, let's see, earned, they call it, scholarships that the kids have earned, $7.7 million.
That's great.
Yeah. And Cibola last night had, 13 point something million dollars earned for those kids.
There's a lot available. I mean, it's not as much as that used to be, I guess. And, you know, but they're there. They're out there.
No, they are. And there's a lot of local scholarships and a lot of local organizations, you know.
I like to see those numbers on the 13 million and the seven. I mean, are you counting like the public university, like taking the top 5% and everything?
So here's the way it works, Tom, because I was asking the same question. So they say scholarship earned, which is kind of like, okay, it's earned, but it's not the ones that the kids are accepting. They maybe had four or five schools that they said, I want to go to your school, and they were accepted. And the school said, well, I'll give you this much of a scholarship. Yeah, yeah. They count that.
So five different schools for one kid.
Yes. They don't just narrow it down to the one that you pick. And, you know, like my son got the scholarship to University of Oregon and U of A, but he's going to U of A. So the U of Oregon shouldn't count, but they use the word earned, and that's probably why.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know. Earned, so
I mean, yeah, that's what they were offered and stuff. So that's
I think they counted my son as a $300,000 for the Air Force Academy.
Oh, yeah, that's outstanding.
Yeah, it was great for me.
Yeah,
Thank you for paying for it.
So as all the listeners out there probably watching or listening, but the market, you know, keeps going down. The S&P year to date's down about 19%. The NASDAQ's down about 26%. And then quite recently, the Dow kind of spilt down because it was holding its own at about 10%. Now it's at about 14% down. Yeah. So
14.8 right now.
Yeah.
Just checked it. Because it's down right now. It started off on the upside this morning. I hadn't looked at it till now, Tom.
Yeah. So. You know what you're going to find a lot of times is like you have like, you know, bad couple days, and then you have like a little surge, and then you're like, oh, maybe it's going to come back. And then you have, you know, some more down days. But the bottom line is American consumers are getting beat up by cost of goods, food, oil, living arrangements. I mean, I talked to some realtors in town that manage houses, like a lot of houses for their business. And a lot of the renters are just saying increased by $200 to $300 a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're paying more rent, you're paying more for gas. So, you know, less consumer.
More for food.
80% yeah. of the GDP number is based on Americans buying. So once Americans can't buy as much, you're going to see the numbers. And the real thing that kind of proved it was a couple of days ago, Walmart came out with their earnings and so did Target.
Right.
And that's kind of the all-American shopping place of where people go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their numbers were, the sales were down. So that's a good starting point on how the consumer's feeling.
Right.
And on the Target, Tom, there was actually Target's revenue beat expectations. They grew 3.3%. So it's not all bad news.
Well, that could be an adjustment or two, or you know, a depreciation thing they took or something. But when sales are down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree
with
that.
Even with inflation, you know, mm-hmm. that's worse than it looks.
Yeah. Well, they're also saying high fuel costs, which makes sense. Compensation rates and then the headcount of employees. They don't have enough employees, kind of like what Walmart ran into, too. So there's yeah, other things other than just people buying.
Well, but I think the guy to walk through the door has to have money to buy, right?
Oh, no, yeah.
So no matter absolutely. How many employees they have or don't have, or mm-hmm. if their trucks deliver stuff with higher gas, it's
and the supply chain issues. Sometimes they get too much stuff at once. Sometimes they don't get enough. So there's a lot of things going into it. But you're right. The person has to
I read a report a couple of days ago. It was interesting. I never thought of it this way, but it basically said that corporate America is really quick on letting the news out when it's good news.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, within like breaking news daily, hourly, like, hey, this is good happening.
Yeah.
But when the news starts going negative, they creep it out.
Very
Friday at 5 o'clock.
or even push it out for a couple of weeks. Or not even, you know. So basically, I think as more news comes out on earnings and that, you know, you're going to hear more sentiment like earnings down, and then it's going to have an effect. So
sounds a little bit like gas prices. You know, when they're going up, they go up pretty quick, but when they come down, they just trickle down pretty slowly. So
well, same with the banks. I mean, when you have, you know, interest rates have gone up quite a bit, and if you look at savings accounts and CDs and all that, the banks creep it up. Because, you know, financially it's to their advantage, but then when rates go down, the banks are quick to like, oh, quick you only got a 1% CD because the rates are down. So, I think interesting. I mean, I think, you know, definition of a recession, again, is two negative quarters of GDP. First quarter of this year, we're a positive one. And then the fourth quarter of 21, we're positive 2.5. But then January of 21, we're positive 7.5. So there's no doubt that our GDP growth is going down pretty quickly.
Right.
So I think, you know, by late summer, probably, you know, August, September, October, I think the writing's going to be on the wall as far as, you know, what direction the economy is going and if we're going to be in a recession. Funny thing about a recession, it's two negative quarters of GDP, but it's after the fact. You're always looking backwards.
Well,
so technically,
we could be in
a
now.
Recession for the second quarter, but we don't have the numbers, so we can't. You know,
can't prove it.
We're in one, it's like driving a car, but you're looking in the rearview mirror, you know, the whole time. You can't look forward. So,
right.
Do you want me to give you some? This article I was reading. This guy doesn't think there's a recession in 2022. Do you want me to give you some of the reasons why, and then you can?
Yeah. Before we do that, let's just talk a little bit about the internet and analysts. I mean, you can get analysts that are 180 from another analyst, meaning people think, you know.
You do get 180, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, gas can go to, you know, 10 bucks a gallon. The other guy's saying, it's going to go back down to, you know, 250. So there's a big extreme of ideas on the internet.
Sure there are.
But that's free speech and, you know, the American way of letting everyone.
We still have it.
Say their thing. So with that in mind, you read something about of someone who thinks a recession could happen, but in 23.
Yeah, 23 or 24.
Let's hear some reasons, George, and then okay. I can say if I agree or disagree.
There you go. So I had some, I lay myself out there for that one. Hey, but one other thing I wanted to talk about, Tom, because people do get, you know, especially when they see the market, like the other day it was down to 1,100, I think, in the Dow. I found this interesting stat, but how many times this year, and it's, you know, it's been a very volatile year, how many times this year has there been a market swing up or down of 3%?
In 1 year?
Just this year.
Yeah, but S&P?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's, yeah, it must be the S&P.
That's a big swing in the S&P, so I would say like maybe 2.5.
No, 4 times this year.
Oh, yeah, 4, yeah.
Up or down 3%. Yeah, for the, you know, volatility.
Oh, up or down. Okay.
Up or down. Yeah. That is a big swing. How many were in 08?
Well, 08 was dropping like a rock, so because you got to remember, if you swing down, that's 1, you swing up, that's 2. So if you're
swing down 3 and then down 3.
Yeah.
So that would count as 2. Yeah, so
I would say, I don't know, like 6.
42.
42?
42 up and down, up or down moves of 3% or more in the S&P.
That's called volatility.
Yeah, that's called volatility. Yeah. In fact, there's been 177 in the last 25 years.
I meant to say 6 every
quarter.
So
they're not as rare as you think.
Sure you did.
2020, there was 28 of them.
You got to take a break.
During COVID, so. Right on. We'll be right back. Money Talk, AM560, KBLU. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Good Friday. George Davis, Tom Rush in here talking a little bit about what's going on. You're saying that. Who's what report is this from that you're reading?
Oh, it's from chief economist at First Trust Advisors.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is his opinion on recession. So he's got plenty of reasons to suggest we're not about to recession start in 2022 or even early 2023. So the first is the most probable cause of the next recession is tighter monetary policy needed to wrestle inflation. People think there is, but so far, monetary policy isn't tight.
monetary policy isn't tight.
Nope. The growth of the M2 supply has slowed, but the time lag between tighter money and slower economic growth should be at least 12 months. So he's saying the lag between the tighter monetary policy and an actual negative GDP is 12 plus months.
I mean, think about it. They pumped in like $4 trillion in the system. So he's saying there's still a lot of money in the system, right?
Basically. Yeah, he said they raised short-term interest rates by less than 1%. So the quantitative tightening has yet to even start.
So I agree with what he's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of money in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's the first reason.
Okay.
Second reason,
Smart guy, George.
He is a pretty sharp guy. That's why I like reading his articles. Second, tax rates haven't gone up and are increasingly unlikely to do so anytime soon. Russell liked this one. The gradual demise of President Biden's Build Back Better agenda.
But let's take them one at a time. So taxes aren't going to go up, right?
He's saying they're unlikely to go up.
I know, but let's look at this scenario. If you look at taxes not going up, okay, I could see that. But what about the day-to-day or week-to-week cost of the food, gas, and all that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's cutting into people's... I mean, that's great, taxes aren't going up, but if you look at all the other costs going up, that's a problem, I think.
Yeah, no, that is a problem. But this is what he's saying. He's saying the gradual demise of President's Build Back Better agenda means tax rates remain at the lowest level set by the tax cuts.
Yeah, no, I don't. Are they? So Trump did some tax cuts. Russ could.
Yeah, in 2018, tax cut and job act.
Yeah, yeah. So he didn't mess with those, is what you're saying.
Right. Well, he's trying to, but this guy's saying the Build Back Better agenda is
pretty much. But it's the lowest ever
much...
based on the previous administration.
Exactly. Yes, Tom.
He didn't point that out.
No, he did too. He just.
Okay, what's the other one?
Okay, the next one. Third, although businesses are replenishing inventories at a rapid pace, and yes, the pace will slow, the levels of inventory at manufacturers, retailers, and wholesalers are still very low relative to sales. Plenty of room for businesses to keep restocking shelves and showrooms in the months ahead.
So not an inventory problem?
Well, of course, the inventory problem, but he's just saying that the shelves
have room.
Full. There's plenty of room for them to be stocking, even...
Because they're empty, George.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you can spin it one way or the other. It's a positive thing. There's room to
stock. He's saying that's positive because he's saying the businesses are going to be getting as much as they can other than baby formula.
Yeah, that was an artificial. That was a government-induced shortage.
Oh, geez.
Hey, so I Googled that because I was curious, you know, the reason behind it. And what I read, and maybe there's more to it, was... that some of them got contaminated and kicked out, right?
Like they stopped. There was a contamination, so they went to that place. Was it Wisconsin? Was it Abbott or something?
Yeah.
And they inspected it and they found out there was no source here for the contamination at all. But then they wouldn't let them reopen, and they've been closed since February. But the federal government has held them back. You know, the inspection people and all. Because, you know, they've changed the criteria under Biden on...
It's like the second largest producer for
They have 43% on the market.
43%,
I mean, you think about a crucial item, like, you know...
And so they've been... They just... And apparently it's already been signed off by some of them, but they're waiting on another one of the bureaucracies to give them the go-ahead. And then it's going to take them 2 weeks before they put out their first shipment.
So they've been shut...
They've been sitting there shut down for no reason. Never had a contamination...
Red tape, huh?
Yeah.
It's too bad.
And the other thing you're talking about, Russ, is, I mean, with the government, I think before that, maybe the last couple, 2 or 3 years, they didn't allow formula to be shipped in.
From overseas.
Overseas.
Yeah.
And so then it was just self-reliant on just what we could produce for our own
Which
country.
I don't understand that. But
And okay. now look what happens. So.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand just the quality of if you're feeding kids something.
We take human food in from overseas all the time.
No, I know.
We don't care about quality for you. just our babies.
So I wonder who stopped that then. I mean, if they stopped taking importing in baby formula,
I don't know when that happened.
Well, it had to be a reason they found something in it or something. I don't know.
There's got to be something, but I mean, maybe not. Why would they?
It could be just some legislator that heard something from somebody.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just an emotional thing. You got a phone call.
All right. About baby formula.
Well, the Pentagon is sending an airplane to Switzerland and somewhere overseas to bring in the first load of baby formula.
Right. Yeah, Biden. Biden went ahead and did some kind of emergency on that one.
So all of a sudden, it's okay to bring it in, and thing of no, of not raising taxes. I guess, you know, the money that we're sending to Ukraine. I mean, I guess it's, you know, pay me later. You know, here's the money, pay me later. I mean, someone's gonna have to pay for that money. Either you do it today or you do it next week. But
it's you. You're paying for it.
Of course, we all are. Yeah. But we're going to have to raise taxes to generate that money.
Yeah.
Or stop spending somewhere else, which is doubtful.
And then the other thing, you know, yeah, it's great. There's room on shelves to put product on there. But with the interest rate going up and everything being what it is, how many companies want to go and invest the money or want to go borrow the money to be able to make the product and have it sit there to get it out to where it's got to go to?
Good point.
I mean, these guys are complete idiots. They don't realize that fuel is what makes the world go round. Electricity doesn't just come out of a battery. You got to make a battery only stores electricity. So you're going to need something to make the electricity.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Anyways, great show, guys. Just thought I'd interject that we live in a fear thing. And I guess what happens when you put two people too close together, you get monkeypox.
There you go.
COVID.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, talking about the electricity.
Thanks for the phone call.
Talking about the electricity thing, I also read a couple of days ago that they think the summer rates are going to go up quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, have you guys heard that too, right?
Yeah.
Like 3% increase or something?
I didn't know the numbers, but they said it'd hold on.
Yeah. So not only you have rent going up, food going up, gas going up, yeah. You have your electric bill go up here.
You know what's going to go down, though? Happiness. We're losing it.
I have a philosophy on that, Russ.
What's that?
Well, I think right now, why don't you end up doing something for yourself?
That's exactly right.
Like something you've always wanted to do, whether it's read more. Like I went to the doctor and I tipped the scale in at 255. I was disgusted with myself. Plus my blood pressure level was not where I wanted to be.
Right.
So now I'm hitting the gym 5 days a week.
And you feel better?
I feel much better. And I'm like, you know what? Why not take this time to, you know, at least do something positive, and whether it's get a bike or...
But then also do something that isn't too expensive, you know, like walking the canal bank.
Yeah, walking the canal bank, walking your dog.
As far as I know, the farmers are not charging you for that.
No, they're not.
No, don't give me any ideas.
But that's a good caller. But you can tell, you know, people get frustrated, and they are getting frustrated because of that. You know, last thing on the baby formula is listen to a radio show, and you know how they do a blood bank? Like, give blood and you build up the blood bank.
Give a milk bank?
Yep, they have a milk bank now.
What?
Yeah. Women are I don't remember what state it was. It was Illinois or something like that.
A lot of times, you know, they pay you to give blood. Are they paying them to give milk?
They didn't say if they were paying. It sounded like it was voluntary. Yeah. But
you mean like the plasma place?
Yeah. You know,
but now with the change of pronouns and all that, I think some guys can lactate now,
there
George.
There you go, man. That's a fact.
Scary. No, but there's, you know, I mean, people are resilient. I know the market's very resilient, and you know, I guess I'm a glass half full guy. I know that there's things out there that's really a wall of worry.
Oil's going to make money because they're profiteering.
Yes.
So I had a buddy of mine who's from Yuma, and he's from India, and he went back to India for like 3 weeks or so. And he said he came back and he goes, he was amazed at how COVID has set him back, because he visits about every other year or so. And he, you know, India was progressing and, you know, things were looking up. But he's like, it was really, really bad shape.
Did they do a lot of lockdowns and stuff in India?
They must have, because he was saying that he was talking to a guy, one of his buddies worked for JP Morgan in India. And he said that this COVID thing is setting the Indian people back almost 10 years in financially. And he said, the people you could tell were, you know, not, the stores weren't as busy, and, you know, the sentiment was kind of down. So that's happening in India. It's probably happening in other countries. And that goes back to the point of the big question now, too, with Ukraine and Russia is, you know, is there going to be a recession in Europe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other unknown, but they even think that it's even more likely over there than here.
Yeah.
So we think we're
be hit harder by the oil than we are. I mean, some of them, like Germany, was getting a big percentage from Russia. oil and gas, which was ridiculous. Trump kept fighting that the whole time, saying, "What are you doing? Yeah. You're getting get oil from us." And he stopped that pipeline, and then Biden opened it back up. You know, the Russia closed ours and opened up Russia.
Yeah,
Trump opened up ours and closed Russia. Yeah. You know, and Biden flipped it, said, "Yeah, we don't want oil, but we want Russia to have it." You know, the profits, crazy.
Yeah. Well, one thing I do realize about the American people is usually when things are, I'm not going to say what's happening in midterms, but people usually realize what's going on around them and they do make adjustments. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you know what, though? People are creatures of habit, right? And I think if, you know, gas goes up, food goes up and such, I kind of think people don't make an adjustment. I don't think they just turn on a dime. I think they have to, though,
because most people live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think most people have a little bit of credit cards, too. So
I think it takes
them like 60, 90 days to kind of realize where you're at. Then it's crunch time after that.
I agree.
Once the credit cards get up there, then they're going to have to make
a choice. But then that's a double whammy. You got all those interest charges and everything else.
Yeah.
And interest rates are going up.
Painful. So. Hey, you need to take a break.
We're going to be up against another break. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. We'll be right back.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. George Davis here, Tom Rush, Yuma Investment Group, kind of talking. If anyone wants to give us a call, go ahead and give them the number, George.
344-5258, 344-KBLU. Give us a call. We're trying to brighten Russ's day, which has been
You guys got to work harder.
A little bit difficult to work harder. So
well, it's reality, though, George. I mean, there's really some things that everybody needs to know.
It is, it's reality. Is right.
There are some signs out there that are not positive, so adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And you raised up a good point too. Maybe it's not the best time in the world to be getting a loan and buying that new,
buying that extra, whatever it is, the extra.
Yeah. So, but one thing, Tom, that was interesting. You were talking about the Europe and the other countries. I know that. That Carson actually likes at Canada.
I think we got a call here, George. Hang on. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey.
I have some positive news, I guess, to brighten Russ's day.
Thank God.
Well, back in the riot about the George avoid imbroglio.
Mm-hmm.
He's been convicted. Not George, Floyd was convicted before, but the officer who knelt on him has been convicted. But during the riots, right after that, there was a man who shot at police officers, justifiably, because he didn't know who they were, and they shot at him first.
Wow.
And he was acquitted of all charges last July. And then the word started getting out, and I wrote about it in September of last year. And he has just settled for a $1.5 million settlement from Minneapolis. And he says he wants to work with civil rights groups and gun rights organizations to reform police actions, which I thought was exemplary. His name is Jaleel Stallings, and he has moved to Texas from Minneapolis in order to escape possible retaliation, which I think was a
good
move. And he can move because he's a truck driver. And, of course, now he has enough financing that with a $1.5 million plus, it's $1.5 million plus attorney fees.
So he's got money, but we still don't have any. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
Right. Hey, Russ, did you happy me to go up on that?
No,
nope,
now you're happier. I'm happy for that guy.
That is an interesting story.
So the summertime also is a telling time on how people are doing,
yeah,
because people always travel right during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see what type of traveling's taking place. And yeah, money's taking place.
We're going
to
travel out to Fisher's Landing this year.
Oh, yeah?
Are you?
Yeah, it's about 30 miles.
Usually gas prices go up, too, during the summer. So
yeah,
it's interesting to see what happens.
George was saying he's going to take his family to the Lagoda Resort.
Lagoda, yeah, there you go, right over the mountain there.
They got a pool, George.
That's right.
But in all sincerity, there's a lot of money spent in the summertime on vacation.
Yeah, there is.
So it'd be interesting to see, you know, where those numbers come in at.
Yeah.
Because those numbers should start coming in June, July, so you can kind of get a feel again on the quarter.
I would assume there's going to be a little simpler, like traveling nearby versus cross-country, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
People are going to have to cut it somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, and not to say people won't do something, but I think, like you're saying, yeah, they're going to cut it back, or instead of staying 2 weeks, stay 1 week or something like that, right?
Right.
Well, airlines are quite a bit up, I hear. I haven't.
No, they are. They're actually
looking because of gas prices.
Because of gas prices, yeah.
Yeah, so airfares and,
yep,
and the ships.
So taking the old family wagon and traveling for, you know, 10-hour, 15-hour drive might be the way to go.
See, I could tell you've done that.
Not recently, but
not recently. Yeah. As a kid, we did that a lot.
Yeah, well, it was cheaper, right? Instead of flying, you go the hard way. Yeah, so
that's funner, more bonding too. That's right.
Is that what we called that?
That's right.
And I thought I got that bloody nose for nothing.
All right, Tom. So you were talking about some other countries. I thought it was interesting that Carson's one of their CFAs actually is raising their exposure to Pacific ex Japan, that's like something like Asia, and then their number one is Canada, which is kind of interesting for international.
Oh, yeah, outside.
Yeah, that's they're one of their number one.
I mean, if you think about it, if Europe maybe goes into a recession or a pullback, then you got North America. So who would you put North America? Those us and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's much choice. Maybe Mexico, but
yeah. Yeah, but I thought that was kind of interesting because there for a while with the shutdowns, they were struggling. But all right, I've still got two more to go here for you to try to tell you that recession is unlikely in 2022. Okay, the fourth one, along with higher mortgage rates, that's going to be a headwind. But this analyst is saying that home builders have underbuilt housing in the past decade. So total home construction should not falter. Fewer home sales, yes, but rental units have to be built too.
Okay. So,
he's thinking that the people are always asking about the housing and if it's going to be dropping, but he seems to think that it's still going to stay robust. Yes, with rising interest rates that maybe some people won't be buying the houses, but, you know, if you look at rental units, I've looked at getting a rental unit for – somebody that's assisted living. 3-year wait here in Yuma. Hate to say it, but it's two to three-year wait for someone if they want to get help
in
rental. Yes. Yep.
Hey, funny you bring that up because I have something that shows kind of stats, but it says dwindling supply. The number of existing homes for sale nationwide at the end of 2022 was 950,000 homes. So basically, that's what was on the market. The number of existing home sales at the end of March 2017, so what's that, 5 years ago, was 1.8 million, which is almost double.
Okay.
And then the number of existing homes for sale at the end of March of 2012, which is 10 years ago, was 2.3 million. So basically, we went from 2.3 and 12 million.
This is number of houses that are available
on the market.
Okay.
And so basically, it's been cut in half since 2012, and it's in 2017, actually cut in half in 2017, and even more than cut in half in 2012.
Uh-huh.
So there's not a lot of houses out there. So that point is they keep building, which is probably true.
Yeah. Well, I think they got under the gun a little bit with COVID. Didn't think that, workers, and they didn't think they needed to, build as many houses, but people working from home and,
The millennials are coming out, and they're late bloomers, but they're starting to pick up houses now, and that's a big deal because
or they're selling their smaller house and wanting to upgrade, raising their families too. Yeah.
So. But one of the biggest demographic populations is baby boomers. I'm not baby boomers, millennials.
Millennials.
They actually took over the baby boomers numbers. Baby boomers are slowly dying off for us.
Is that what happened to them?
But it's a big number. So
yeah, it's the more good news for you, Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Russ's phone, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got the fifth one here, Tom. All right. There were 11.5 million job openings as of March compared to 7 million prior to COVID. Demand for workers remains robust.
Dang, that's like 40% ish.
Yeah. So 7 million before COVID. Now there's 11.5 million job openings.
And what month was that in?
March.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are going to have to start having more money for food, gas, and others. So those jobs people should go out and get jobs, right? Wouldn't you think that would go away?
I mean, I would think so. I would think that people would be going out and getting
and
then
not getting any checks that make them more money by staying home, right? That went away.
That went away too.
Yeah. So it's.
But anyway, so that was the five. To be clear, he's not dismissing the risk of recession. He just thinks that it is going to be a couple years out.
Well, not even a couple years.
12 months to
23, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 12 months.
Yeah, about 12 months or so.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
There's another article I read that the stock market's up 80% of the time the Fed start to tighten. Historically, if you look back.
Well, I read a stat that said anytime the market drops more than 18%, the probability of dropping down to 30 is like high. Like that's a stat too.
What is it again? Say it.
If the market drops more than 18%,
yeah,
the probability of it dropping to 30 is very high.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's all looking at numbers.
Yeah.
Second, you think you got it figured out. You don't. So yeah. It's not that easy.
I like your analogy that to make Russ happy, you've already taken a punch in the face.
Yeah, I mean, if the market, like we had a conversation this morning with someone in the radio station, and her thing was, well, things are down. She goes, well, why don't we just, if things are gonna get worse, why don't you just get out? And I said, well, the S&P's down 18%. If you're in the market, you already kind of took a punch. And if you're wrong, then, it's tough to come back the other way. But I think, as far as getting out and trying to get back in, I mean, it's not as easy said as done.
Yeah.
But.
So let's talk a little bit about bonds real quick before the break, Tom, because we're talking about the market. So since the 6th, which was May 6th, when was that, 10 days ago? No, maybe a couple of weeks ago. S&P's declined 5.3%, but bonds are actually up 0.5% with treasuries up 0.9. So they're starting to see, because earlier in the year you had both the bond market and the stock market selling off. And I think you and I were talking that we've never for 25 years haven't seen the bond market react in almost an 8-9% decline in such a short amount of time.
I mean, the last time the bond market had it this poorly was in the 80s.
Okay.
So it's actually, I mean, 20, I've never seen it in my 28 years of doing this, but so bond markets, you know, usually a bad year in a bond market, and that's usually when interest rates are going up, you know, because when interest rates go up, the price of bonds go down. We can talk about that later, but basically you might be down 1% to 4% in a bad year in a bond market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, year to date, some of the bond markets were down, even treasury tips were down like 5%, 6%. You know, other bonds were down 8%, 9%.
Yep.
And, you know, so, yeah, but that's starting to bounce back a little bit is what you're saying.
This is what they're saying, yeah. Starting to see that rotation more, you know, call it the safe haven, whether that's cash, bonds, gold. People rotate out of the equity market and more into the bond side of things. So, because there's some value there.
Yeah.
Which should help overall because you have people that are, you know, relying on bonds, and they did see that early in the year, and that is quite startling. So we're up against our next break here. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Some folks are born made
to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and... Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Good morning. Got George Davis, Tom Rush, Yuma Investment Group, kind of talking about what's going on out there. Got some more stats here, George?
I do. Welcome back, Yuma. It's our last segment here. I'm still trying to make Russ smile today, which has been a little bit difficult. So let's see if this one helps. Are you a Jerome Powell fan,
Russ? No.
Why not? Okay, he's had a very tumultuous first term. Okay, give him a little
maybe
bit of
because
break.
He's had a tumultuous first term. Yeah, he was a little slow on the uptick.
First term, he had the pandemic, and now he's doing the historically high inflation rates. But anyway, last Thursday, he received a welcome bit of news that he was confirmed 80-19 by the Senate vote for another term. I didn't realize it was that unanimous.
Wow, that's pretty huge.
That's pretty big.
What's the term, 2 years or 1 year, does it say?
It doesn't say.
But he's brand new. I guess they're not going to dump him yet. But the fact that he got 19 to say get out of office.
Yeah, 80 pro and 19 against him. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I wonder historically how those things go. Because, you know, normally those the chairman will be there for, what, 8-9 years?
Well,
or
they're talking about him starting off during COVID. So that was maybe it is a 4-year term.
Yeah.
I don't know, but anyway. But, yeah, we'll kind of see. I let him at least give him a chance to see what happens here. But, yeah, he's had a pretty interesting.
Well, you're a nicer guy than those 19.
Yeah.
So one thing you wonder about that is that is someone like that, the Fed chair, is he calling the shots himself, or does he have about 15 that's... people under him that are like, you know, he's just a spokesman? What do you think, Russ?
Oh, I think he's calling himself. He's probably got 15 advisors. But he's got so much political pressure. Does he really have free will is the question.
No.
How much does he have to listen to the political side of things? Because we know it exists, although it's supposed to be separate. Nothing ever is.
But you know he's getting filtered by somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. As an economist or something, he sounds pretty sharp. But maybe he's just really good at talking. But
I think he's a pretty smart guy. The big thing people are knocking him for is that he's out ahead of the curve on increasing rates. He should have done it like in the last fall.
And he's even said that himself.
Yeah. He should have done it during COVID, but they were so afraid they were going to stamp the brake too hard and cause a reflation.
Who was afraid, though?
Huh?
Who was afraid?
The feds. He was.
That or the government. I mean, politicians.
Like you're talking about, who's calling the shots?
Yeah. It's supposed to be him, but, you know, there's pressures.
Absolutely. Maybe that's why you got 80 votes. You know,
he calls a shot, but you can lose your job tomorrow.
All right, Tom, another one here for you. This one I thought was kind of interesting, too. Growth has underperformed value by over 17% year to date.
And if you look at the last 10 years, not counting this downturn for 5 months, growth has outperformed value, or overperformed value by a lot.
Yeah.
Now, historically, value stocks do better than growth if you had to look at like 30 years.
Long term.
But the last 10 years, I think it's been the tech revolution, right? Because everything is going technology, but growth has done real well compared to value. Mm-hmm. So they say maybe this next decade might be a value play. Companies that, and value, what does that mean? Growth value? Value are companies that are making money and they have, you know, cash coming in.
Like a Walmart and a Target.
And growth are companies that could be making money, but they're growing very fast. So
like Tesla was a few years ago. I don't know if they're value now or growth. They're still growth, I guess.
I'd say growth, yeah. They have a small percentage of the market. I mean,
most value stocks have a dividend, too, that are paying like a Verizon or...
Yeah, but I mean, Microsoft pays a dividend. Microsoft. Apple pays a dividend now. Are they growth or are they value?
Yeah, a little bit of a hybrid, I think. No, you're right, though. Yeah, they're both.
Yeah. So
the other one.
So when things get bad, you want to own value because those are companies that have proven to be able to make money, you know, and pay dividends and such. Value more of a play.
So the sell-off in high valuation stocks hasn't been seen since the dot-com crisis.
So the dot-com crisis, the S&P went down 45%. That was 2000. And it went down for, I think, like 20-some months. But the dot-com thing was crazy. I mean, I was an advisor at that time.
Yeah.
You'd see stocks go from like $10 in 1 week. And by the end of the month, they were like $50. And by the end of the next month, they were like $120. I mean, everyone thought, you know, everyone's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that was, talk about a crazy frenzy.
That was what, 98?
2000.
Oh, 2000, okay.
And then you'd have people calling in. I worked for Merrill Lynch, but I have people calling in that had nothing to do with, knew nothing about anything, and they would call in and they're, I want to buy X. Oh, yeah, what do you know about X? Heard it from my brother-in-law. Heard it from somebody. I mean, they were just completely, that was a feeding frenzy there.
Yeah.
And of those internet stocks, only like, I think they said 5 to 8% actually are around today. The other, you know, 90 or so percent.
Bought up, faded, whatever.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you can see that happen maybe with the cryptocurrency thing because, you know, there's a big feeding frenzy. Everything was looking up, 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 up. And now, you know, I don't know if you watch the news, but some of those have getting smashed pretty hard.
Yeah. Bitcoin's down half of what they were.
Yeah. It was up in almost 60,000. Now it's 27, something like that. Well, the more interesting one was
But one of them got one bankrupt. Like it went to zero, right?
Yeah. It was that coin that was pegged to the U.S. dollar. So apparently it would just stay
supposed to be
flat.
Stable, yeah, stable.
Stable, coin. Like a stable value paying you 7%, and it crashed, went bankrupt.
Oh, it did?
It went to zero, yeah.
There's a bunch of people in it just thinking, oh, this is...
Is that the first one?
There's some couple others that are on the ropes.
And what did it have value of billions and billions of dollars, and it just went...
I think it went from like $40 to zero in like less than a month.
I demand an investigation. Sounds funny to me.
All right, Tom, here's the other one, too, since you're the historian here.
Compared to the current sell-off, growth stocks have only experienced equivalent drawdowns three times in the last three decades. Dot-com, global financial crisis of 08, and the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay.
So as far as the downturn in the growth, in the growth area.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the pandemic thing, it's easy to go back and be quarterback and think about, but that market dropped 50% in 1 month. I mean, and that, the market's never shown. And then within like, I don't know, a couple months, it really gained a lot back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really down up like a quick V.
Yeah.
But just the hindsight of.
And the uncertainty of the COVID, you know, people were, dying.
Well, they thought the numbers would be really big though.
A lot worse. Yeah. So. It's going to be crawling up your grass. All right, Russ, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Last week, what was the worst performing stock in the S&P? I'll bet you'll get this one.
Tesla.
Well, pretty dang close. Twitter.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Down 18% last week.
Yeah. Man, and that thing's up in the air right now.
Yeah, it is.
I think he's still going to buy it.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean this whole thing is probably renegotiations and stuff.
Well, that's probably what it is.
Yeah,
trying to get a better price.
But it's interesting because he based his price on it, according to him, of 5% or less was bots or fake accounts.
Okay,
because that's what they report to the SEC. So that's in their official paperwork that they turn into the SEC, and he's discovered on his own research that it's closer to 20. And Twitter says, no, he says, okay, show me how you figured that and prove it. They won't give him the paperwork. But if they do give him the paperwork, then they've lied to the SEC.
Oh, gotcha. Because he thinks it's closer to 20%. Right?
Correct. Correct. Okay. So did they lie to the SEC and say it was 5?
Okay.
I don't know what the game is. I don't know. There's, you know, it's just it's all guessing at this point at our end.
Well, how are they going to find out for sure then?
Well, what he did is he took a group randomly and then went and looked to see if they were real based on
like
how
a sample
they,
like a
samples
sample?
Yeah. And he asked okay. he asked all his followers, take a sample of 100, let me know what the percentage is. And he's had a lot of them do that.
Uh-huh.
and they're taking random samples of 100 and finding 20% or so are bots.
But think about this, if you wanted to change the sentiment of the news and say I made, you know, 20% of the accounts were me, then you can drive the narrative a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like, oh, everyone thinks this. Yeah. It's not everybody.
And the bots are going to be more active. They may write 30, 40 a day versus somebody writes one.
Yeah, because they're trying to be more influential.
That's all they do.
Yeah, right? Interesting.
Is try to influence.
All right, Tom, let's end the show on some good advice here. So,
advice?
Yeah, people are a lot of big question right now, including calls are, hey, should I just...
I think
and go to cash and just wait on this, or what should I do at this point?
Okay. Here's the rule of thumb. Until you know someone's complete position, you can't randomly give advice like that.
Okay.
Because ultimately, not seeing the full picture, you might be giving the wrong advice.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, if they're really wondering what they should do, I would go get some help. I mean, to talk to a financial advisor, they don't charge you by the hour, unlike an attorney or a CPA.
I charge by lunch.
speaking of lunch, we never took you to lunch.
I've been forgetting. We'll get to it.
Yeah. But so I mean, I think you need to sit down and throw everything on the table and see what's involved and what options are available.
Yeah, our number's 928-329-1700 right there on 16th Street next to Smart and Final if you're looking for a good financial advisor to kind of ask us about your situation. I think that's great advice, Tom.
Keep this in mind, though. Anytime there's a crisis somewhere financially, it also is an opportunity. So someone who foreclosed on their house, got kicked out, bad for that person.
Yeah.
Next guy coming through looking to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bank owns it or somebody, they're probably going to get a better deal.
Yeah, and back in 08, some of the houses.
So even though if this thing gets uglier and it could, there will be opportunities. So what you have to do is figure out what the plan is and have a plan, because you don't have a plan, and I've seen this a lot in 28 years of doing this. Everyone just wants to sit on the sidelines. And then even, with COVID, things dropped 50%.
Mm.
And then if you didn't have a plan, within months, it was back up there. So got to have a plan. That's the bottom line. And a plan, usually a plan of action. And if your plan of action is do nothing, that's a plan. But at least think out what you want to do.
You're right. It is though. Yeah. It is a plan. It could be as long as you plan to do nothing versus just did nothing.
That's an option. Yeah. I mean, so.
Well, you're talking about vacations this summer. A lot of times people can kind of slow down in the spring and summer. So it is a great time
to look at your financial plan and evaluating
that. Most people with their financials, the average American is like an ostrich. They want to stick their head in the sand when things get ugly or tough. And then they just want to hope it goes away.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the right approach.
Doesn't usually work.
Yep. Hey, we'll be back next time. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m. Everyone have a great Friday.
Have a great weekend.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information. For specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.